sword and looking out the window to where Kairos was in the tree. When I came in, he looked down. "Were you watching us?" I asked, sitting across from him.
"Yes,"
he said.
"I'm not letting either one of you out of my sight, ever."
"You punched Galen." His jaw knotted with tense muscles, but he didn't respond.
"Rian."
"What do you want me to do, Shalia? I can only imagine what kind of advances he's made on you. You trusted him, and he abused that. He dishonored you."
"No," I snapped. "Do not say that anymore. My honor has nothing to do with what man is married to me or touching me or loves me. I will not be broken or diminished or belittled by the choices of men around me. Do you understand me, Rian the Dragon?" He stopped sharpening and looked up at me. His eyes darted over my face for a moment, and he said,
"I understand."
"Good." His hands moved on the blade again, slowly dragging the whetstone to sharpen the blade.
"You sound like mother, you know."
My eyes shut. That was everything I had ever wanted. But now... now...
"It's a good thing,"
he said, his voice rough. I looked at him, and he raised his head up, his eyes bright and ringed with moisture. He sniffed and fixed his eyes on his sword again.
"I'm worried, Shalia. And I have that right. You don't know him like I do. There's no one else I would want beside me in a fight. But he will hurt you."
"I've been hurt," I said softly. "And if he does hurt me, it won't be the same way Calix did. Galen's heart is strong and good." Rian's throat worked.
"What heart, Shalia? Galen may have emerged on the side of good in that family, but none of them are unscathed. Calix, Dene, they're damaged. They're broken. Galen has been lying to everyone he loves for years. He has killed for one cause while he believes in another. He is the most dangerous man I have ever met."
"And you don't have to see what I do," I told him. He opened his mouth and I raised my hand. "I trust him, Rian. I trust him and his heart."
"Shalia,"
Rian said, frowning at me.
"You've always been tender-hearted, but he is not a bird with a broken wing."
"Calix betrayed me in every way I can imagine," I told Rian, my voice soft. "He stole my will, my voice. He made me feel small and quiet and trapped. Galen has protected me at great cost to himself. He's made me feel valued and valuable and precious and loved. He doesn't see his own valor, his own worth. And I think it's shameful that you claim to be his friend and don't see it either." Rian scowled at me. "Galen may be broken, but I have been broken too. And if we can break and rebuild together, that's all I want." Rian swallowed, shaking his head.
"I want more for you. I will always want more for you."
"It's my choice, Rian," I told him. "After everything that's happened, don't take my choice away." He sniffed.
"I don't regret punching him."
I crossed my arms. "I suppose that's your choice." Rian looked out at the darkening sky.
"You should sleep. We're going to be moving fast tomorrow, and you've been through a lot. As has my niece,"
he said, looking to my stomach. I smiled. "I'll try. Is there somewhere to send the other Elemente? They don't want to come to the desert, and they need to be safe. To heal in more ways than Kata can give." He nodded.
"I'll see to it."
"Are you going to stay here until Kairos comes in?"
"Yes."
"Very well.
Good night, Rian,"
I told him. going around to kiss his cheek. He touched my arm for a quick moment and let me go. I didn't go to my room. I drifted down the hallway wondering how I could figure out which room Galen was in without bursting in or knocking or somehow making myself known. I walked the long hallway twice when a door opened. Spinning around, I spotted one of the soldiers. He stopped when he saw me, and I froze, blushing and feeling utterly foolish. I went back to my own room, shaking my head as I shut the door.
Oh.
I knew his voice, even from such a soft syllable, and I looked up to see Galen standing by the window. Galen, I said.
I was just making sure no one can get up here,
he said.
The windows seem sturdy, and I'm fairly certain that the pitch of the lower roof would take a while to climb. However, if we get ambushed, we might be able to make use of it for escape. But still, I'll have a guard outside just to make sure.
He was flushing, the red bright on his skin from his flimsy excuse, and he nodded once before starting to move toward the door. I was trying to find you, I said. He halted, his eyes wide, watching me.
You were.
He was closer now, and I could see the redness near his eye where Rian had punched him. I touched it gingerly, and he smiled, a tiny wry thing. That doesn't hurt? I asked. His eyes swept over my face.
I can't really feel pain when you're touching me like that.
The smile widened.
Or when you're touching me at all.
Then he saw my wrist and the white lines that remained from where Kata healed the wounds left by the manacles. He caught my hand in both of his, brushing his fingers over the scar. His breathing was heavy and erratic as he touched me, not speaking. Galen? I whispered.
He tortured you. He was supposed to love you, and he tortured you.
No, I murmured. Not in the way you think. This drew his stark gaze to mine, and there was so much fear there. Fear for me.
Shalia, he knew how to torture you in a way that was far more effective. Just because he didn't strike you doesn't mean it wasn't torture.
I couldn't deny how true that felt. Iona lost her eye. Because of me. Because I couldn't do it. I wanted to, but I just couldn't.
Shalia,
he said again. And another girl died. She couldn't have been more than 13. He was right, I told him, faster, trying to get it all out in a rush. I was still able to use my power. I guess I just didn't care enough for them. He stepped closer to me, and I nudged my forehead against him, closing my eyes and sinking into his touch.
No,
he said, and his chest rumbled with the sound.
That's not your fault. Nothing he did was your fault.
I should have saved them, Galen. If only I could have controlled my power. I shook my head hard, bringing my hands up to curl my fingers in his shirt. He brushed kisses on my temple.
You said your power comes from your heart, didn't you?
He whispered. I nodded.
You can't control your heart. You can only trust it.
He took one hand and brought it to his lips, kissing my knuckles.
Like I trust you with mine.
He looked at me slowly for a long time. His eyes traced over every part of my face, and a slow smile came over his mouth.
I love you, Shalia the Dragon. Your heart is my heart.
He took the hand he was holding and put it on his chest, like I could feel his heart there. He drew a long breath under my hand.
And I know right now the only thing you can think of is surviving and grieving, and being free of my brother. But when that happens, I will be there. I will keep you and your baby safe for the rest of your days.
My fingers eased on his chest, straightening and smoothing over his shirt. And I wondered if it were that easy to take something and hold it. I don't want that. He looked like I had struck him, and my fingers wandered, finding the pulse at the base of his neck. This seemed more tangible, a brighter piece of his heart for me to hold. I went from being a sister and a daughter to a wife, a guarded queen. I have little idea what my life will be like if I'm free from Calix, but I don't want to be something you protect. I won't teach my daughter that her only choice is to be sheltered by the men around her. I want to stand beside you, I told him, running my fingers lightly over his chest. I want to learn to fight with you. I won't accept you as a protector, I whispered. His eyes were wet, shining and bright green because of it. But I will accept you as something else, something far greater, because with whatever scraps of my heart are left, I love you too, Galen. My breath shuddered as it came out, but I leaned up, staring at his green eyes. I pressed forward, grazing his upper lip, opening my mouth to kiss his bottom lip. Then he moved, and his mouth opened to meet mine. His tongue stroked into my mouth, and I raised my arms, twining them around his neck, our bodies sliding together. His hands ran down my sides, making my skin feel hot and alive everywhere he touched. With relief so sharp it felt like pain, the thread strained against my fingertips, and I stepped back from his arms, holding up my hands.
"Your power?"
he asked. I gazed at him, his hair spiky and dark and slightly disheveled, his chest rising and falling hard. I nodded and stepped back into his arms, pressing my mouth to the cords in his neck. His pulse hammered under my lips.
"Shalia,"
he said, catching my shoulders.
"I shouldn't do this. I can't do this. You just lost your family. You almost lost your child."
"You're not doing anything," I told him. "We're doing something. And after all the pain of the past few weeks, I want to know what this is really supposed to feel like. What it is to be touched by someone who moves the heaven and stars for you. Please give that to me, Galen." His thumb touched my lip, and his eyes followed, like he couldn't look away.
"It won't fix anything. It won't change anything he did."
"No," I told him. "It won't be about him at all." I kissed the pad of his thumb on my lip. "It will be different with you, won't it?" I asked him, my voice quiet and small.
"I've never been so damn scared to touch a woman in my life,"
he whispered, his fingertips on my shoulder, barely grazing my skin.
"So I'm fairly sure it's different for me."
My shoulders drew up. "I meant with you. When you touch me, I feel things that I've never felt." His fingers brushed my hair back, letting it slide over the skin of my shoulders and following it with his fingertips.
"I like the sound of that,"
he whispered. His touch made me dizzy, but my thoughts sobered me. "Every time with him, it was awful," I breathed. He swallowed, meeting my gaze, touching my face.
"My sweet,"
he whispered.
"It will be different. The only thing I want you to feel with me is pleasure. My love,"
he said, kissing my cheek. His lips moved to the corner of my mouth.
"My lovely dragon."
He pulled back a little. Tentatively, I moved forward until our lips met again, and his hands fell, going to my waist and back, pulling me tight against him. His mouth left mine a moment later, kissing my chin, my jaw, my throat. His hands pulled up to slide under the coat and slip the garment off me. I shivered against him, and he kept kissing me. I had never had a desire to touch Calyx. But now my hands were restless and busy, trying to touch as much of Galen as I could. I pushed off his jacket and ran my hands over his shirt, feeling the firm knots of muscle as they moved and twisted and leaped up to meet my fingers. I loved how he couldn't seem to catch his breath, and I felt his heart beating hard under his skin everywhere I touched. He loosened the cords, keeping my dress together beneath my breasts and around my waist. And as he pulled the knot, his fingers brushed my stomach, and he stilled. He kissed his way down my covered body as he knelt in front of me, parting the cloth to show my stomach to him. His hands covered my child as he kissed me.
"You can feel her,"
he breathed, covering the spot where my skin had turned from soft to firm. He pressed a chaste, earnest kiss there and stood up, looking at me.
"You're a miracle, Shalia. And this child, it doesn't matter to me who her father is. I will love her like my own every day of my life. You know that, don't you?"
I ran my fingers through his hair and pulled his mouth to mine to keep from crying again, and I started tugging ineffectively at his clothes. He broke our kiss to pull his shirt over his head and looked at me again.
"You're sure?"
he asked. Nodding, I let the cloth of the dress slip off my shoulders. He stared at me for many long moments and then leaped into action, shucking his clothes in seconds and coming to me, wrapping his warm arms around me as he led me to the bed. The threads crackled around me, but I let them slide away from my fingers. Galen was right. I had to put faith in my heart, in my power, in him. I let it go, and I felt the power shimmering around us, soaking into everything that was of the earth as he touched me. I didn't have to try to control it. It was just there. I couldn't help but think of Calyx and the way he touched me when I didn't want it. The way it was never my choice. Twice I stopped, touching Galen's face, until I was sure it was him and not his brother. And both times Galen waited, halting until I asked him to continue. The second time I felt embarrassed tears in my eyes, and I tried to laugh them away. "You have excellent self-control, you know," I told him. He frowned at me, kissing me gently.
"What control would I need? There's nothing exciting about the idea of hurting the woman you love, Shalia."
I stroked his back, pulling him closer to me. "You love me," I whispered. He grinned, a sweet, bright smile.
"I love you,"
he said. I knew then what my mother meant when I was first married, when she told me that this was wondrous, the most intimate act that two people could share. It had nothing to do with the closeness of our bodies. It felt like he saw everything I was, full of hope and scars and faults and love. He let me see him the same way, without his armor and masks, open and whole. He continued when I asked him to, and as our lips met, everything seemed to shift inside that kiss, a new future spinning out in each other's arms. Over the Edge. We woke in the night to shouting. My heart seized for a moment, the terror of the past few days overtaking me. But Galen caught me.
"Hush,"
he said gently.
"Something's happening. I have to go see what it is. Stay away from the windows and don't open the door."
He rushed out of the room, and I put my palm to my racing heart. Light caught my attention, and though I tried to stay away from the window, I saw the remains of a hot, fast flash of fire burning the leaves of a tree. It wasn't long before Galen came back to my room, but I had guessed what he would tell me. Danae was gone, and by morning Calix would know where we had been. We were all awake before the gray dawn, quiet and efficient in our preparations to leave. 10 horses had arrived in the night for us, but it meant that not everyone could come with us. Considering that Calix would never let me go willingly, it didn't put me at ease to have a smaller group. The remaining men readied the Elemente to travel due east for the coastline, and a ship to take them to the islands. Iona was trembling as she hugged me goodbye, but I told her I would see her as soon as I was able. Galen hadn't spoken to me at all, but every time I caught his gaze, which was often, it felt like it was obvious in his eyes what had happened between us, and it made me feel hot and ever so slightly dizzy. He came and put his hands on my waist to help me onto my horse, and I couldn't breathe as he did.
"Let's go,"
Rian called gruffly. I smiled at Galen, and he nodded at me and went to mount his own horse. The ride was uneasy. It took us most of the day to make it to where the land bridge used to stand, and as we rode, I stretched my powers, clearing rocks from our path, piling up dirt when we were too exposed. My power had shifted. It wasn't like reaching for threads anymore. It was like my body was made of threads itself, all part of the same fabric. Using my power was as simple as thinking, as wishing, as breathing. It was there with me, responding to me, part of me. I didn't know if it was my growing relationship with Galen, or my child, or my freedom, but something within me had settled into myself, and my power grew exponentially for it. When we saw the castle that Vistai Atalo lived in, we slowed, and I looked at its tall, strong walls with a shiver. Kairos sent Osmost flying into the air to scout ahead of us, and I watched him, watching the bird, seeing how he turned and shrieked. "You've gotten better at that," I told him. He grinned and lifted an eyebrow.
"Indeed I have."
He waited a few moments more and called out to Rian and Galen, leading the line.
"No one's ahead. But if men are in the castle, Osmost won't be able to see, and we won't know until it's too late." "Can we go north?"
Galen asked.
"If Shalia's building a bridge, can't we just do it anywhere?"
"It's not the bridge," I told them. "That shouldn't be too hard. It's the pass. This tunnel is blocked, but there's one about 100 feet down in the cliff. If I can forge a bridge through that, we'll be in much better shape."
"An alternate exit in case of cave-ins,"
Rian told Galen. Then he seemed to remember they weren't on good terms and frowned. "Shalia isn't the only Elementa here," Kata reminded, giving me an arch look. "And there's plenty of water in the river down below. If they come while she works, I can repel them."
"Very well,"
Galen said.
"Move fast. Shalia, you go first. Rian and I will follow you. Kairos, stay to the middle and keep the hawk in play. Kata, toward the back so you can fight first. Men, you know what to do."
Everyone nodded, and I led my horse up between Rian and Galen. My heart was beating hard as I looked at the open stretch of road. "I just ride for the edge?" I asked, pointing. The road was still in shambles from where my power had wreaked havoc, and I couldn't ask if my family had been burned here or somewhere else. Not in the sands of the desert, that was for sure.
"Yes, wherever you need to be to use your power,"
Galen told me. He reached for my hand and kissed it, and Rian growled.
"You can do this,"
Galen said, ignoring my brother.
"We'll keep you safe." "That, at least, we can agree on,"
Rian grunted.
"We agree on much more than that, old friend,"
Galen told him.
"If we die today, you need to remember that." "We're not dying today, if only so we have more time to fight about this,"
Rian snapped at him.
Shalia, go.
I went. I spurred my horse hard and covered the 1,000 or more feet between the castle and the pass. It seemed to take an eternity, long enough for my heartbeat to match the beat of the horse's hooves. And then the edge of the cliff loomed before me, broken and jagged where the land bridge used to be. I heard shouting, and I saw trifected soldiers swarming out from the castle, and then Kata holding her hands up, and water cresting up from the crevasse and swirling in the air. With a rush, it arched down in front of her, hitting the road and knocking the soldiers off their feet. With a deep breath, I reminded myself that the best way to help everyone was to get them across before the battle got much, much worse. I turned back to the open air, the impossibly deep drop, even as I watched more water flying up to come to Kata's aid. I could see the dark smudge of the lower tunnel, and I shut my eyes, calling up stones and dirt, slamming the boulders into place to form a rough, uneven kind of stairway to bridge the gap. The sound of rushing water behind me stopped abruptly, and I turned. Kata was on the ground, and Kairos was crouched beside her. The rest of the men were in a line, standing as soldiers ran at them. The two lines slammed together with a clash of violent steel.
Shalia,
Kairos yelled, picking up Kata.
Focus!
I looked back toward the crevasse. There were several stairs lifting up from the lower outlet. I lifted my arms, focusing again, watching the rocks rip out from the mountain and bash themselves into place. What happened? I asked, as Kairos came beside me with Kata limp in his arms.
Arrow,
he said, showing me her side.
And she hit her head.
Leave her here. Keep fighting, I told him. He hesitated, but I shook my head. Go, I told him. Kairos nodded, turning back to whatever was raging behind me. Three more stairs slammed into place, the noise shuddering my feet.
Shalia, hurry!
It was Galen's voice. I turned for a moment. There were more soldiers rushing out of the castle, and the resistance was about to be utterly overwhelmed. Almost done, I yelled.
Go,
I heard, and this was closer. Men peeled away from the line of battle, and the first one ran past me at full pace, leaping into the air to the uncompleted bridge. He caught the edge, slipping down, and with a gasp, I sent a rock up under him, pushing him higher. He popped up with it, running down the stairs as soon as he was able. Men started running after him, but I could still hear fighting behind me. I turned again and saw Rian, Galen, and Kairos fighting men, and Osmost screaming and plucking at the eyes and face of another, who was flailing under the hawk's talons. The next wave of soldiers was only seconds away. Now, I yelled, we have to go! My words were cut off as something slammed into my side, pulling me to the ground and falling on top of me. The breath was knocked out of me as I saw my husband's face swim before my eyes. He was faster than I was. He sprang up, wrapping his arm around my throat and hauling me up. I clawed at his arm as Galen, Rian, and Kairos halted in front of me.
Brother.
Calix growled at Galen. Galen put up his hands, stepping forward slowly.
Let her go, Calix. You've done enough.
My eyes darted to Kairos. His eyes lifted up. Osmost! If I could knock him off me, Osmost would take him.
You've betrayed me, brother. I always knew you would. So disloyal you could choose a woman, my woman, over your own brother.
Galen swallowed, and I called up a rock without any way to know how far behind Calix's head it was.
I didn't betray you, Galen said. You have debased this family and this country for so long that this was all I could do.
The other soldiers had arrived, but they hung back, making a half-circle around us and the edge of the cliff. Trapped. There was one extremely tall soldier, and I recognized him instantly. Zeph!
Shine now, Cairo snapped, and I tried to hit Calyx's head with a rock.
It missed, but he dropped me to dodge it, and I ran forward as Osmost shrieked downward. Calyx hit Osmost's talons away, but Kairos was right behind him, tackling Calyx around the waist and heaving him onto his back, dangerously close to the edge. Kairos reared up, slamming punch after punch to Calyx's face, and we all ran forward. Calyx bucked him off, rolling over to hit Kairos, but Kairos turned them once more and landed more blows. Calyx slammed his fist up through Kairos's jaw and pushed at the same moment, and Kairos's body flipped over the edge. With a scream, I reached out with my power, and I felt rocks shearing off the cliff. But I couldn't see what I was doing. I couldn't tell if I had caught him or if I had hit him in the head with a boulder. I ran to the edge, kneeling to look over. But I couldn't see him.
Shalia,
Galen yelled, snatching me back from the edge. Galen dragged me toward the bridge, and Rian ran to meet us as Calyx yelled,
"Kill them! Kill them all!"
There was still an unfinished gap on the bridge, but Galen jumped, and without a question, I jumped after him. He caught me, landing on the highest step and swinging me aside so Rian could jump after us. The trifected men nearly caught Rian, but a big shape cut them off.
"You'll have to go through me,"
Zeph said, and I saw him turn to face the semicircle of men. I saw Theron move forward, shaking his head.
"This isn't how I wanted this to end, old friend,"
Theron said. Zeph didn't respond, lunging forward with his hopesh. Rian jumped and stumbled down a stair as the men hesitated, then bellowed as they closed in on my brave guard.
"Go,"
Galen ordered Rian. He started running down the stairs, and Galen tugged my waist.
"Shalia, go."
"Not yet," I yelled, raising my arms and calling up thousands of tiny stones as Zeph twisted and moved, fighting hard.
"Shalia, Calyx,"
Galen yelled, pointing to where Calyx was approaching the stairs. Taking one of the larger stones, I launched it at his head. It hit him square in the temple, and Calyx fell to the ground. Stretching my fingers with a shout, I sent the brute force of the rocks flying into the faces of the men around Zeph. It wasn't very precise or fatal, but it earned a moment of distraction.
"Run,"
Galen shouted at him. Zeph ran hard for us, barreling over the edge and hitting first Galen, then me, knocking us back. Rather than falling onto the stairs, I fell off the side. For long seconds, I fell through the air. Galen shrank in the air above me, and I couldn't think. I couldn't breathe. Was this what Kairos felt? Suddenly, without my intention, a rock came up beneath me, cradling me and easing my fall before stopping it completely. With a gasp of relief, I got to my feet, holding my hand to my belly as the rock began to rise. I looked down. I couldn't see Kairos or where he might have fallen. A shout from above drew my attention. Other soldiers had jumped across the rock, and Galen and Zeph were fighting them off, struggling to keep their foothold. Zeph drove his fist into a man's jaw, and the man careened off the rock. "Down!" I shouted, pointing at the tunnel. Galen pushed Zeph, and the two men started running down the stairs. I started collapsing it behind them as another soldier jumped and fell into the air. My heart seized, and I sent a rock out to catch him and send him back to the edge of the cliff. Flying the rock back up to the tunnel, I saw Rian talking to Kata, pale and sitting, clutching her side as blood came through her fingers. "Go into the tunnel and get Kata to the water so she's stronger. I have to go look for Kairos," I yelled. I started to turn away when Galen leaped off the edge, landing on my rock and tilting it hard. I grabbed him, and he wrapped his arms around me.
Whoa,
he said, steadying. What are you doing? I asked.
Coming with you,
he said. Galen! His hands rubbed my arms a tiny bit.
No matter what you find, I don't want you doing it alone. Duck!
Rian shouted, pointing as an arrow flew, falling short and dropping into the crevasse. Go, I told him. I'll be up as soon as I find him. He nodded, fixing his stare on Galen.
Keep her safe.
Galen's throat bobbed, and his arm wrapped around my waist.
Always.
Galen brushed a kiss on my cheek, and I nodded at Rian, letting the rock drift downward. I curled my arms around him, leaning my head on his shoulder so I could look one way and he could look the other. I brought us all the way to the churning water in the bottom of the canyon, the wind blowing at my skirt and face and hair, cold where the rest of my body was warm against Galen. I slowed the rock as it skimmed along the river.
I didn't even know there was a river here,
Galen whispered in my ear. I nodded. My father took me here once, when I was a child, and we hadn't found food for a long while. We came to hunt. I pointed behind his back. Far over that way, there's an old staircase. It took us hours to climb it. My fingers curled against him. Maybe Kairos would go toward it.
Shalia,
he said softly.
Do you think he would have survived the fall?
I shuddered against him. I don't know. I tried to catch him, I said, my voice going so rough it barely escaped my throat. But I couldn't see him. I could have hurt him.
Or you could have caught him,
he said. Keep looking, I said. He nodded against my head. We floated west first, going to where the mountains began to fall together, the river just emerging between the rocky crags. My eyes caught on rocks and sticks, the movement of a fish, and every time my heart leaped. We turned east, going slower, looking at every inch of the riverbed. As we grew closer to the ocean, Galen pulled away from me to tug his jacket off his shoulders, putting it around me. I frowned up at him.
You're shaking,
he said, holding me tight again. I looked up at his face and saw a sadness etched there. I'm sorry, I told him, that you had to fight your brother.
I should have killed him,
he said. But the words lacked fire, and instead sounded defeated. He's your brother, I reminded him. His throat worked.
Someday, I'll have to be the one to kill him, Shalia. I need to make peace with that.
I held his hand tight. Maybe so, but it's all right if you haven't just yet. He nodded, kissing my head. And I focused on the river again. When we reached the ocean, the stone halted, faltering a little. He's not here, I breathed.
Not finding his body. That could be a good thing, he told me softly.
Body, I repeated. I can't lose him, Galen. His arms tightened around me.
Let's check again.
Rian will worry.
He's safe. Worrying won't hurt him.
I nodded, moving the rock down the river again. Legend. I didn't know how much time had passed when I finally gave up. The light was dimming in the sky and I couldn't feel anymore. I didn't feel cold or tired. I couldn't look at anything anymore. Kairos was gone, and I had lost one more beloved thing. One more piece of me removed that I didn't know how to survive without. Galen tucked me deep in his arms as I let the rock rise up. I didn't trust myself to walk, so we stayed on the rock and floated into the tunnel. Within moments, the light behind us died, and I shut my eyes. My power could feel the rock around me better than I could see it, and I just moved us along. Rian wasn't in the tunnel. No one was. "They're not here," I murmured. Galen brushed my hair back.
"They would have gone ahead. We've been gone a long while."
I nodded and kept the rock floating down the passage. Soon we saw torchlight. I slowed down. I saw Zeph first, his big body looming even larger in the flickering light.
"Something's wrong,"
Galen murmured, holding my hand as he jumped off the rock. I followed him. "Zeph?" I called. Zeph turned, and I saw blood cascading down his arm. "What happened?" Kata came forward. She looked paler and weak.
"He's wounded.
It's bad. I couldn't heal it completely."
Zeph's uninjured shoulder lifted.
"I can't really move my hand,"
he huffed.
"How are you standing?"
Galen asked. He pointed to himself.
"Legend,"
he said with a heavy sigh, before instantly slumping against the wall. Kata sighed and caught him with her power, lowering him to the ground.
"He's fine," Kata told me.
"Or he will be." "Where's Kai?"
Rian asked, walking around Zeph with a torch in his hand. He let it fall to the ground where it still burned, coming to me, looking around me.
"Where is he?"
I covered my mouth. Words didn't come out. The horrible words that I couldn't find him, that he wasn't there. But tears did, and Rian grabbed me, hugging me hard.
"We didn't find the body,"
Galen murmured.
"But of course he's alive,"
Rian growled.
"You don't know anything about my brother."
I pulled back, nodding. "He has to be alive, right? Kairos... Kairos can't..." Rian pinched my cheek.
"Kairos is the most clever man I've ever known. Of course he's alive."
"There's a branch of the river close to here," Kata said softly.
"If I can get to the water, I'll be able to try again to heal the god."
I thought of Theron, and how only a few days ago I wouldn't have known which guard she meant by that. But now the two men were distinguished by their loyalty, a line I wished I'd never made them cross. "Then we go," I told her. "We're not losing anyone else." We walked for most of the night. We reached the river, and Kata waded into the water and out again a moment later, as Zeph slumped down onto the ground. "Zeph?" I called. "Zeph!" I touched his cheek. He was still breathing, but he had passed out. "Kata, please hurry." We all waited, watching as she worked on him. Kata looked heartbroken as she said the arm was lost and she couldn't heal it, so the men held Zeph down as Galen cut through the rest of it, severing his arm above the elbow. Zeph was so weak he barely fought against the pain, and as it was done, I went to his side, wiping his brow, speaking soft words of comfort to him, trying to protect him from pain, as he had always done for me. Kata's power took after the arm was gone, and she grew pale, sweating hard, pouring her power into him as his breathing eased and his heart grew stronger. I stayed beside him as Kata went back to the water, pulling her strength from it. Galen sat beside me, tucking his body close to mine, and Rian sighed and sat down near Zeph. The other men of the resistance came and sat with us. Rian leaned his arms on his knees.
He'll be all right, Shai.
Galen grunted.
Please. He'll never be the same again. He will be lording this over me for years. Lost his arm protecting his queen. I'll never hear the end of it.
Shalia, Kata said, and I met her eyes. She gestured toward the water.
With a deep sigh, I stood, going over to her.
There was a frown on her face that made me think of Galen, and it was strange to think he was right behind me, right beside me in all things. What is it?
Do you feel that? She asked, running her hands in the water. I dipped my hand in.
Cold?
No, she said.
Your power. Does anything feel strange with your power? I felt out along the rocks, along this place that hummed with threads. She was right. There was something there, like a break, like a place where threads had been cut.
I think so, I told her.
What is that?
Her eyes met mine heavily. I've felt something like that once before, she told me. In the islands. When they tried to get my powers to show.
It feels stronger here, I told her, following the river upward. The stream disappeared into rock, and I pulled at it to make the space wider.
What are you doing?
Rian asked from behind us. But Kata was at my shoulder, and we pressed forward, going to the gap I created. More water was rushing out, and then something fell into the stream. I reached for it, but Kata snatched my hands away.
Rian, she called, grab that.
I pulled away from her as he took it from the stream. He held up a glass cage, fused shut with gold. And inside, an orb filled with red liquid shimmered, dark and dangerous.
Blood?
Galen asked, coming closer.
What is that?
I felt along it with my power. The gold was foreign to me, flat and unresponsive. All around the cage, I felt like the threads had been cut, and I couldn't use my power. Slowly, my fingers covered my mouth. The elixir? I breathed. I think this is what Calix was looking for.
This is the elixir?
Galen asked, taking it from Rian.
This was a person, Kata said, her voice a snarl.
It's the blood of an elementa. The blood of an islander.
She shook her head, turning away from me. It was a person.
Kata,
Rian said, going over to her. I stepped aside, wanting to move closer to Galen, but not wanting to get too close to that thing.
Don't touch me,
she snarled, turning to push Rian away. I saw tears in her eyes, and the sight made something crack inside me. But Rian pushed forward, gripping her arms, pressing his forehead to hers. Her breaths were rough and shallow.
I'm here,
he said.
You're safe. You've made yourself safe.
I felt totally lost looking at them. Rian and Kata meant something to each other that I had never noticed before. Her breathing slowed, becoming even and steady. In his arms. I looked to Galen, wondering if he knew that's what he did for me, too. This whole time, he wasn't looking for some magic potion. It's not an object, Kata said softly, tugging my eyes from Galen. It's a person. It's a fifth type of element. You said you felt it before? I asked. She nodded.
When he came to the islands, after he broke our numbers, they spent 2 days rounding people up and trying to get us to show our powers. And I tried, but I felt like this, almost as if it was severed, like the power didn't even exist.
She pulled away from Rian, wiping her face, shaking her head.
No, it couldn't have been the same. I know he used something like this to take the islands, but they wouldn't have tried to make us use our powers with it nearby. They would have known I couldn't.
Us? I asked softly, looking to Rian. He shook his head. Who were the others? I asked. She nodded.
At least two more. I didn't know them.
Kata, I said softly. One of them was probably this fifth element, some kind of void that can cancel out the other elements, and they didn't know it any more than you did. How could it be? She asked me. I've never even heard of a fifth element. There are no more priestesses. My family is dead, and there is so much I don't know about my own heritage, about these powers. Your family is here, I told her fiercely, taking her hand.
So we should destroy this,
Galen suggested, holding it up over the river.
It doesn't look hard to break.
Don't, I told him. We don't know how that works. But it's like my power feels disrupted around it, crumbled a little. I think if that blood spills, it will be far worse. Kata nodded.
How did it get here?
Zeph asked, still sitting against the wall. I pointed to the river. That leads straight from the lake Calyx was searching. It must have shifted. We were lucky it didn't break, Kata said. She took a deep breath, stepping closer to Rian and kissing him briefly.
We're going to have to hide it until we can figure out how to destroy it properly. Not here,
Rian said.
Definitely not. If Calyx ever figures out a way across, this tunnel will lead him straight to it,
Galen said. We'll bring it to Jitra for now.
How are we going to carry him? Kata asked, nodding to Zeph's limp body.
It's a long walk still. I can do it, I said, calling the flat rock we had used in the tunnel to me. The other men helped lift Zeph onto it, and I used my power to float him up.
Do you?
Galen started, holding out the cage to Rian.
You hold it, Rian said, a small smile on his face. That way you'll keep your hands off my sister for a little while.
Galen's face soured.
You will have to accept this eventually, Rian.
Yes, he said, moving ahead of Galen and me in the tunnel.
But not today.
With a sigh, I leaned forward and kissed Galen gently. That's progress, at least, I whispered to him. He nodded, chasing my lips for a moment before pulling back.
Go, he said. I don't want this thing to do anything to you.
His nose rubbed over mine, and in a soft, secret voice he reminded me.
I love you.
I kissed him once more. I love you, too. When the passage opened out onto the road, I saw that I had lost all sense of time. It was so dark it was nearly impossible to see. Rian and I didn't need light, sure of our steps back to Jitra, while the others stumbled along, and I found myself walking beside my brother, reaching for his hand as our weary steps grew faster, eager to go home. The entrance to the carved city was cracked, the stone threatening to fall. Galen kept the blood out of range so I could use my power, lifting my arms to seal the rock back together unbroken. Unharmed. Inside the entrance, more rock had tumbled down to block the narrow passages. Slowly, carefully, I pulled it all up, Kata close behind me. With the last stone moved, a path cleared into the center of Jitra, and I halted, unable to go farther. I can't, I breathed. Not without him. Not without all of them. Rian drew a ragged breath, tugging both of my hands.
Shy,
he said softly.
What does your power feel like when you use it?
What do you mean? I asked.
Kata's told me it's like strings, isn't it? Isn't that what it feels like?
Sucking in a breath, I nodded. Yes, I said, when I wasn't sure if he could see me in the dark.
For wealth,
he said.
For secrets, for ferocity, for a full stomach.
His hands squeezed mine.
But most importantly, there is a thread because you're desert-born, and you will never be alone.
I swore I could see them in the dark, my siblings and family coming forward to bless me, just as they had the day I married. Rian had been first, with his thread full of foreign coins that I now knew the cost of far too well. For wealth, little sister, that you never want for anything. Then Kale. You won't stand alone, he told me. He gave me a white and black thread woven together. You are desert-born, and you will never be alone. Aiden was next, with a blue thread knotted around a mountain cat tooth. For ferocity, he said, and I could feel the ghost of his fingers pinching my nose. Show them what the heart of the desert truly is. And then Kairos, sly as ever, and as I remembered his words, they chilled me and gave me a thrill of hope. Keep your secrets, he had told me with a flash of his bright smile. And then last, the spirits of two small figures who would be together in death, as they always were in life. Katrin and Gavin presented one thread tied around a small purse. I made the thread, and he made the purse, Kat explained. She put it around my neck. It's full of seeds, Gavin said, in case they don't feed you. So you never go hungry, Katrin corrected. Gavin shrugged. Same thing. Their spirits stepped back and faded, but I still felt them all around me. Felt the warmth of the clan, heard the women keening their low song to send me on from the desert with blessings and love. I was not poor. I was not alone or broken or hungry. Their blessings had carried me through every challenge and horror I had faced. In truth, I had never left the desert at all. And my child would know the light, the warmth, and the love of her ancestors. And yet, passing through this doorway without Kairos and his secrets made my whole body ache, reminded me of the threat that was looming just beyond the desert, the hate of my husband gathering like a storm. I hugged Rian tight and hard, and I felt his chest shiver with grief against me.
We must do this, he said. Our feet will never fail to carry us home.
But Kairos, I whispered. He is safe, Kata murmured, not far from us in the dark.
You don't know that,
I heard Galen tell her gruffly.
Don't give them false hope.
I do know, Kata told him. The world has been broken and hurt, lying shattered in pieces for years. And now the powers have all returned, and everyone here has a role to play. Kairos has a role to play. We'll find Kairos, because not one of us can escape our fate. I leaned away from my brother, remembering the last night I was here, when Kairos wished I would find someone who moved the heavens and stars for me. I looked up. Knowing I had, knowing that those star spirits were the most eternal of all. I prayed my family had found their places up there. I prayed no more of my family would have to anytime soon. Maybe, I told Kata softly. Fate has only begun to play her hand.